I love the skunks. There are those times where you hear a song you freaking hate, and it's an earworm that will not go away. You're not likely gonna find that on this podcast because these are songs you've probably never heard. In fact, they're so good, they might be one of the greatest songs you've never heard. And that is the name of this podcast with Chris Cochran, who I'm staring at right on my computer here, and myself, Phil Anderson. Chris is all the way in Little Falls, New York, where I'm in Little Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Chris, how's it going, man?
It is going well, Phil. Thank you for asking. The sun is shining. The grass is green.
The autumn and palm trees sway.
I was thinking about that, actually.
Welcome
to
your
very late Christmas spring episode here in upstate New York. Very late spring. So it's just gotten, as the time of this recording, green in the last like week and a half.
Well, it's at the time of this recording, it's very green here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and the sun is not out. So
I got to ask you, Phil, before we go any farther, who's your favorite to win Eurovision?
The Skunks. I love the Skunks.
Why was there never a 60s band called the Skunks?
That's a great, because they're now, and they're playing at Eurovision.
They tried.
Their music stinks. I try to curtail you on that one.
Just two dads here hanging out in the chat room. Nothing to see.
nothing to see here. Oh, my gosh. Chris, why don't you tell people why you like Eurovision so much?
Because it's the purest form of international music entertainment. The songs are horrible. The performers are terrible. It's pop drivel at its best. It's always political. And it's like, even like, interestingly enough, we watched the first round the other night, my wife and I did, and she loves watching it too. We watched the first round and they get down to, they're going to move. There's like 14 or 15 artists and 10 of them are going to move forward to the grand finals. And there's like five left and they haven't announced who the final slot is. And I said to my wife, I go, it has to be Ukraine. She goes, why would it be Ukraine? I said, because they want to send a signal to the rest of the world that Europe still supports Ukraine. So even though that song was terrible and weird, they're going to move Ukraine through as a political statement. And sure enough, they picked Ukraine. And so all of that stuff to me is like everything about Eurovision I love. The costumes, the characters, the songs, music from around international music. Some of them are in other languages. Some of them are in English. I love all of it. Every single bit of it.
What do you think about the song from the band from Greece?
The band from Greece?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which song that was. Greece is interesting because sometimes they pull out some really great songs and sometimes their songs are mediocre. And I thought this year's was mediocre.
I have never watched it. And I just did a quick look up to know that Greece moved on. So there we go.
So yeah, the ones that didn't make it were really bad.
Oh, is that right? So each country sends one band.
Correct. Or artists.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and they all have a different way of doing it. And what's even weirder is like they call them the big five. There's five countries that automatically they automatically go to the finals. And so there's two nights of semifinals with 15 bands in each one of those. And then one night of grand finals and the two subfinals. It's funny. Cause like it's Spain, Germany, Italy, the UK and one other one that automatically go to the grand finals every year.
Not the United States.
Oh. No, the United States doesn't get to participate because they're not a part of Europe.
Oh, of course.
But of course, Australia, Azerbaijan, and Israel are a part of Europe.
Well, there you go, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that makes no sense. What does make sense is what's about to come.
And Phil, I got a song for you.
Have you really?
I do. This song would never have made the Eurovision Song Contest at all. It just would never have qualified, mostly because it's an American group.
Wait.
What?
Is your song from ABBA, I Do, I Do, I Do, I Do, I Do?
It is not.
I thought that was a little hint.
But Waterloo was a Eurovision song.
Is really?
Yeah. In fact, I think it won Eurovision.
It's a good song. That's why. Yeah. I think.
I'm not a big ABBA fan, but I could see why others would like it.
You like the Monkees, but you don't like ABBA. The complicated mind of Chris Cochran.
That is also true. Are you ready for a fantastic song that's going to become one of your new favorite songs?
Oh, yes, I am. Tell me when you want me to hit play.
Hit play.
Start by breaking my only heart into when all I want was you. What could you mean by crushing my feelings in spite of what you said the last few weeks? You said the last few weeks. You said the last few weeks to me. Why did I listen to the lie that you
Why? Maybe you'll learn how to fly.
I'm letting this one go all the way to the end.
I'm waiting for a very specific joke from you.
Is that right? Well, I'm not sure if I've... wait, I might. Darn it. It went away. I think there was a joke there, and then I lost it. Oh, yeah. What would you do? Sha, is that it? In my shoes?
No, I thought you were going to say, don't call me Shirley.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. This song is fun. This is a song that brings you, you do this a lot, actually. Songs that bring you on an adventure.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You have the leash around your neck, but you don't even have to pull it because the song pulls it through. You could do it even without the leash, but you have the leash just in case you sway off the path.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good metaphor.
So thank you. I just came up with that all by myself. No AI in that. in my life, that's very rare. So I originally thought the song was Running from the Pain. I'm like, oh, no. It's definitely Learn How to Fly. Oh, no. The song is called Shirley Would Be You, but don't call me Shirley. that's my guess. It's not Shirley Would Be You.
It is not.
It's just Shirley.
It is not.
Okay.
Not. What do you have it? Any other observations about the song before I give you some
I do. Details? I really do. So, again, one of the consistent things from you that you bring to this podcast, because we have our personalities, and you just brought up Eurovision. I think this is probably an English band. This has got English written all over it, in my opinion. I loved the acoustic guitar, and then that first, because you have two choruses down.
Yeah.
The one chorus is an ever-changing chorus, but then there's the real chorus. Right. When it gets into that first sub-chorus and it hits hard, I didn't hear it coming. And when it hit, I was very happy. I had to turn my headphones down a little bit, but I was very happy. it was a lot of fun. And then at the end, it goes back into the acoustic. I'm like, genius. I love this song. This song may very well make my mowing the lawn list because of its driving nature. But it's a very good song. I love this song. I've never heard this song. I know it's an English band until you tell me I'm wrong. And that's a lyric for a new song of mine.
Well, you are incorrect. It is not an English band.
Son of a bitch.
So what's funny about this song is, do you want some more info on it?
No. Yes, of course I do.
Okay. So what's funny about this song is I've been listening to this song since it was released, like within weeks of it being released. I fell in love with this song. I fell in love with this band. I fell in love with this album. It's one of my Desert Island Discs. I've listened to this album thousands and thousands and thousands of times. But it wasn't until I was preparing for this show that I learned the background of this band. And honestly, Phil, someone should make a movie about this. So this band started in about 1995, 96 is when they formed. They were all in college together and they started playing music and they started getting booked for so many gigs. They either had to quit college or like quit the band because they just couldn't do both. They were running out of time in their schedules.
At some point you have to commit to one. Just is not enough time in the day. Yeah. To do it right. To do it well.
So they quit college and they moved to Nashville in the spring of 1997 and they recorded a demo album, the demo album was picked up by a record label called Rust Proof Records. And they released it as they basically didn't even re-record it. They re-released it as an album called Back From Nowhere. And they were one of the first three bands that this Rust Proof Records signed in their label's history. They went on their first tour with another band called My Friend Stephanie. And the tour was so bad that My Friend Stephanie quit after four shows. They just were like, we're done.
But this band kept going.
And they had to explain for the rest of the tour where the opening act was, the other band, because my friend Stephanie was actually a little bit bigger than them at the time. And so they had to explain to everybody why they were there, but the other band wasn't. The tour went so poorly, Phil, that one of their tour buses broke down in McAlester, Oklahoma, and they just left it there in a junkyard.
Oh, my God.
A fan found it, and he put it out in front of a skating rink that he owned and painted it up as a memorial to the band.
Wow. And
in 2008 or 2004, they released a second album, but the conditions were changing within the label. And this is one of those situations where a very good band is ruined by poor business decisions of the industry. So
yeah,
they released their second album and the money, the label that they were on started losing money to the place where by 2002, a lot of the bands that they had signed, there were other labels interested in signing them. But the label was hemorrhaging money so bad that the only way they would talk to any of these labels was by demanding like tens of thousands of dollars from these other labels. They would scare them all off. So this band actually had Atlantic Records interested in signing them. And Rust Proof basically went to Atlantic and were like, cool, but we want like tens of thousands of dollars from you to even have a discussion about this. And Atlantic was like, yeah, we don't want them that bad. We're out. And so because of the industry and the greediness of this record label and the ineptitude of this record label, they basically had a band that was popular, had great songs, could have gone somewhere, but the business themselves squashed everything about this band. And they all went their own ways in 2003-ish, making their own records. Some of them actually turned out to be pretty decent. In 2005, their contract expired and they just never got back together.
So let me ask you a question, because this is not the only story that's like this. And sometimes bands somehow make it through that, but most times they don't, like this.
Right.
What prohibits a band from disbanding and then getting back together under a new name?
Probably contractual obligations.
What would be the contract? Is it the contract with the band?
Yeah, but it's with the individuals of the band. So it would just depend on how the contract is written. It's doable. Yeah. But then the problem becomes, especially in like the late 90s, like how do you get the word out that your favorite band is no longer, the Backstreet Boys? They're now called the Front Street Boys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, only Prince had the power, I think, to really pull something like that off.
And for the second episode in a row, we are talking about the difficulties of rebranding.
That's true. That's very true. So the band is called Polar Boy. The name of the song is In My Shoes, and it's from the 1998 album Back From Nowhere.
Well,
Polar Boy
is
all one word.
Polar Boy.
Yeah.
Plural.
Yeah. No, just one. Just one Polar Boy.
Got it. And the name of the song was what again?
In My Shoes.
Gosh darn it.
And you know what else stood out to me that as I was listening? Because it's funny how, I mean, it's like watching a movie that you've seen 100 times. You notice something new or same thing. It's the song.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
We talked about this on a few episodes ago, but I've been playing my guitar a lot more because I got it repaired and had the neck reset and everything. And so I'm trying to play at least 30 minutes every single day. And for some reason, a lot of the songs that I'm attracted to right now have a really cool seventh. They go from a major to a seventh in the chord structure. And the chord structure on In My Shoes, he goes, shalala, in my shoes, what made me choose between the seventh. Where he hits this, and I'm like,
yes,
oh, it's
I
so
meant
good.
To. And so I misidentified that. I thought it went from a major to a minor, but they just dropped down into a seventh. Okay.
Yeah.
I recognize that too. And I forgot to say something about that. And it is a seventh, right? It's not from a major to a minor. Okay.
No, it's a seventh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. I love that you're dedicating that 30 minutes a day, and you're an inspiration to all of us, and especially me. I will start sitting down at the piano. I can't guarantee every day, but at least 2 or 3 times a week.
Well, I just figure the older that I get, the more I can keep my brain active. And what's really funny is I didn't play a ton for like several years because my guitar just didn't sound right. And so when I paid all the money that I paid to get it fixed, I thought, you know what? I should be playing this more often. And I'm actually playing better now than I was like, say, 10 years ago. Just because I don't know why, but I probably this is the dedication to playing and learning new things every single day. And so I figure the older that we get, the more we can keep our brain active and learn new skills. So probably the better off it is for us.
There's a Supertramp song that we played on this podcast.
Yeah.
Downstream.
Yeah.
For years, I could never get the first chord. I wasn't hearing it. And then I revisited years later and it came to me. And there's a song that we just saw recently on one of the, you know, reality song shows or whatever, music shows. And I'm like, I need to sit down and rethink this. I think I can do this now. And it's just, you hear it differently and then your fingers work differently. And I guess that's just the benefit of getting older, because there's not a lot of them, but that's one. So,
well, I was kind of inspired by Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
When he was 50 years old, he decided he wanted to learn to play the bass. And he got so good in the next like 15-ish years or 20 years that he actually recorded a jazz album with a world-renowned jazz drummer and a world-renowned jazz piano player last year. And Bass Player Magazine actually said he's no longer a magician who plays the bass. He's a bass player who happens to be a magician. And then he decided to learn Spanish at 60. And so as I'm listening to him go through this stuff, I'm like, that's not a bad thing to do, is to pick up new skills the older you get.
And by the way, it's not easy. It's a challenge.
No.
But you keep those, the neurons that wire together, fire together. And you keep those things working. Again, you have to commit to it. And so this episode is not only the greatest song you never heard, but it's also Life Lessons 101.
Next week we're going to talk about how to keep the kids off your lawn.
Perfect. I can't wait. Get off my lawn. Well, Chris, you have done it. You have kept true to the spirit of this podcast by bringing one of the really, really greatest songs most people have never heard. And I hope they're on Spotify. Maybe they are not.
I think they are.
Good. We will get that into our playlist. By the way, we have a playlist on Spotify. If you look my name up, I have a playlist called The Greatest Song You Never Heard. And it's not the podcast, it's the playlist that's got about 95% of the songs that we've featured. And the only thing you don't get is the smooth, silky voices of Chris Cochran and Phil Anderson.
That's true.
Well, talk about feel you, touch you, see you later. I will say this. You can always find us on X Twitter at GSYNH podcast. Of course, The Greatest Song You Never Heard.com, which is really where you should just go. There's buttons there that'll take you to the socials if you'd like. But just listen to these songs over and over. And if you like a song, do a deeper dive into the artist or the band. And because these are by no way, not necessarily the best of these artists either. But
that's true.
They're the ones that we resonate with. And you will find more new music that way. And music is the soul of life. I don't know if that makes sense, but there you go.
I don't think this is available on Spotify, actually, to be honest with you. It is available, though, on YouTube Music. You can just go to YouTube and listen to the whole album. And if you really want to get retro, there's a $4.79 cassette tape available on eBay.
Explain to the listeners, Chris, what a cassette tape is.
If I've got to explain it, you don't need to know.
I'm looking over. I don't think that my current stereo system has a cassette player. So there you go.
Real quick.
It's got an H player.
I saw a meme this week that said, why is Generation X so angry? You made us change our record albums for cassettes, our cassettes for CDs, our CDs for streaming music, and we've never been the same.
Yeah, that one has been going around for a little while, and it is so true. So true.
Oh, so true.
Well, Chris, thank you for bringing this. This is fantastic. Once again, the name of the song is In My Shoes from the band Polar Boy off the 1998 album Back from nowhere, which is a great play on words. With that, we will see you next week when, or next episode, Lord knows when they're going to drop, when Phil brings us, when I bring a song to the table, and I hope it's one that is one of the greatest songs you never heard.
We'll see.